What I want to talk about tonight is remember. Remember. You see, Memorial Day is set aside for the remembrance of all those who have given their lives while defending the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy in this great country. I don't think many times that people really stop and realize the impact of what Memorial Day really means. And I just want to give you a little bit of history about Memorial Day. On May 5th, 1868, Major John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, which is an organization made up of Union veterans, and I think we've got a picture of him. There he is. Set aside May 30th as Decoration Day. It was called Decoration Day long before, to commemorate fallen soldiers by adorning their graves with flowers. General Logan's order declared we should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect nor ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. That year, 5,000 gathered at Arlington National Cemetery to attend commemoration ceremonies presided over by General and Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant. This was the nation's first major tribute to those who fell in the Civil War. And at that time, small American flags were placed on each grave, a tradition that continues today. However, the declaration of graves actually began before General Logan's official order, and some two dozen locations claimed to be the site of the first Memorial Day observance. The majority of these sites are in the South, where most of the casualties of the Civil War are buried. For example, both Macon and Columbus, Georgia, as well as Richmond, Virginia, each claim to have begun Memorial Day in 1866, and Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, claims to have held its first observance in 1864. However, one of the first documented sites to hold a tribute to the Civil War dead took place in Columbia, Mississippi, on April 25th, 1866. A group of women, you see there in the picture, were placing flowers on the graves of Confederate soldiers, casualties of the battle at Shiloh. If you look at the destitute graves of the Union soldiers, and also decorated, they saw those destitute graves of the Union soldiers, and they also decorated them with flowers. The first community-wide observance occurred in Waterloo, New York, on May 5th, 1866, with a ceremony to honor local Civil War veterans. And a century later, in 1966, President Lyndon Baines Johnson and Congress declared Waterloo to be the birthplace of Memorial Day because of that earlier observance. By the end of the 19th century, the observance of May 30th as a day to honor the Civil War dead had become a widespread practice across the nation. But after World War I, the tribute was expanded to include all American military men and women who had died in any war. Memorial Day has been acknowledged as a national holiday since 1971, when an act of Congress established its observance on the last Monday in May. In 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, asking all Americans to pause at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence in remembrance of all those who have died in military service in America. Cemeteries received more visitors over this Memorial weekend than any other weekend. While honoring and remembering the fallen soldiers, many families have also included gatherings of their own friends, their family members, and loved ones who have gone on from this life. Others will spend extra time with friends and family at the lake, which can be out the back door of some people's houses lately. Lake Sand Springs and, you know, all around. Lake 21st Street over by our house. Anyway, But many times they will spend time with family over a meal or other planned activities. And making those memories is very important, because the day will come when we'll all be separated by death, should the Lord tarry. But we must not forget, really, the sacrifice of those who have fallen in the line of duty for our country. The greatest and most prosperous nation that it has become. I want to use the scripture tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 5. See, I have taught you decrees and laws, as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. This is so powerful. We are in a great nation. This was something that Moses wanted the children of Israel to remember, not just because of the nation being great, but because of the laws of God that would make Israel a great nation. And I know in a civic way, we are the greatest nation in the world, but we are not just the greatest nation because of things that men thought up. It's because I believe they were divinely inspired. They held the truths of the Bible, and they took them to heart. They were many of the men of God who would go on to talk about the Creator openly and worship God. The reason that our country is great is because we have a Heavenly Father that looked down upon us because we honored Him when this country was set up. But as we remember those who have fallen, let us also remember the one that gave us this and blessed this nation with His divine hand, the one who gave us life, not just physically, but spiritually. Look at the book of Jonah, chapter 2. This is what Jonah said. When my life was ebbing away. How many know our lives are ebbing away? If you don't think your life is ebbing away, you get out a picture of yourself from a few years ago and you compare it to now, and our lives are ebbing away. They are, because that's the way things happen. As he said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. So we say, even when our life is ebbing away, when our life is ebbing away, my prayer rises to you, and I say, salvation comes from the Lord. We must not lose sight. We don't just look at our lives as a single thing in our existence and say, well, I'm just going to look at my life. We have to look beyond our lives, and we have to say, I'm not just looking at my life. I know that my time on earth is going to pass, but I realize that salvation comes from the Lord. My salvation comes from the Lord, and I'm going to look to Him with shouts of praise and sacrifices to the Lord. He is the one who gave us our salvation, and He redeems us from sin. When we're on our way down, sinking in despair or ebbing away, we remember Him and how He raised us up and He placed us on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And the last bit of scripture I want to share is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Here it is again. Remember. Remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, I am never going to forget Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, remember Christ Jesus. I'm never going to forget Him. Even when I'm suffering and I'm in chains, the gospel is not chained up, because the gospel can go everywhere. I'm going to endure whatever comes my way so that others can see the salvation of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget to remember the Lord. We have to remember Him. Memorial Day is not just about a 3-day weekend. It's not about sporting events. It's not about sales. It's not about barbecues. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But it's about remembering those who sacrificed so much so they could be free. To remember the fallen and be thankful to God for them and the Lord's great hand upon this nation. I want you to take a look at this, and I think it will touch you just as it did me. Two different seasons. Go ahead. I think it just says web page. Is it on there? There it is. It says Taps was first played at Harrison's Landing, Virginia. I didn't catch the year. Within 9 months, it was adopted by both Union and Confederate forces. I think it was 1866. In 1891, Taps became a standard component of U.S. military funerals.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, because you have shined down upon this nation. Lord, we thank you for the men and women who have been willing to sacrifice and give their lives for this country. Lord, today there are families that are grieving because a service member did not come home alive. Lord, we pray for your comfort and your peace for those family members. Lord, we pray for the light of Christ to shine through our armed services so that they can see the hope in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would embolden our chaplains to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of encumbering regulations at times. We know that the gospel is not chained, but it will go forth and it will accomplish that which pleases you, and it will not return void. We thank you today, Lord. We give you praise as we think about these ones that have sacrificed. Lord, we thank you as we think about you as well for the sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we could live free, not just in a free country, but free from sin. And we thank you for that today. We praise you, God, because you give us freedom. We thank you because we live freely. We don't have to be encumbered by sin because, Lord, you have given us the freedom. You have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west away. And we praise you for that today as we give praise and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.